Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Dirty Saints, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Shepherd's Sin. I never set out to be a criminal. I was a priest, for God's sake. But salvation doesn't pay the bills, and faith alone won't keep the church lights on. St. Mary's had been crumbling for years, peeling paint, water-stained ceilings, cracked pews, and a roof that threatened to collapse every time it rained. Donations trickled in like a leaky faucet, never enough to cover the repairs, let alone keep food on the tables for the needy we served. The collection plate, once filled with generous offerings from the faithful, had become a sad display of crumpled dollar bills and loose change. So I prayed. Every night, I knelt before the altar, hands clasped, forehead pressed against the cold wooden rail, asking God for a miracle. I prayed for the parish, for my congregation, for the orphans in our care. And then one night, my miracle came. But miracles don't always come from heaven. Sometimes they walk in through the front doors, wearing tailored suits and the scent of blood money. That night, Miguel Alcazar walked into my confessional. The name alone carried weight in this city. Miguel wasn't just another sinner seeking forgiveness. He was a kingpin, the kind of man whose hands never touched a gun, but whose name sent bullets flying. He ruled the Rivera cartel with a velvet fist, as charming as he was ruthless. I had seen him before. He attended mass on occasion, sitting in the back, head bowed just enough to look devout, while his men, thick-necked and tattooed, lined the pews like a silent army. I always wondered why he came. Now, I was about to find out. I sat in the confessional, the dim candlelight flickering between us through the wooden lattice. His voice was smooth, deliberate. "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." I gripped the beads of my rosary, waiting. "My sins are many," he continued. "But today, I come not just for forgiveness, I come with an opportunity." I should have shut the confessional right then. I should have told him that the church was not for sale. But when the devil speaks in honeyed tones, even the righteous hesitate. "The church needs money," Miguel said, his voice calm. "I need a place to move mine. It's a fair deal. You take my donations, no questions asked. In return, St. Mary's thrives." I swallowed hard. "You're asking me to launder money through the church." "No, Padre." He chuckled. "I'm offering you salvation. Do you know how much good you can do with real money? Fix the roof. Feed the poor. Keep those doors open for the desperate souls who need them." I wanted to refuse. I wanted to tell him that God's house wasn't a bank for criminals. But I didn't, because I knew he was right. And so, with one silent nod, I made a deal with the devil. The house of the holy becomes a den of thieves. At first, it felt almost righteous. The money flowed in, funneled through anonymous donations, delivered in thick envelopes placed into the offering plate. I didn't count it. I didn't ask where it came from. I just used it. The church was repaired. The soup kitchen overflowed with fresh food. The orphanage had warm beds, new books, and coats for the winter. No one asked questions. No one ever questioned a priest who suddenly had the means to do good. But the thing about deals with the devil? They always come due. And Miguel wasn't the only one watching me. The first sign of trouble came in whispers. I heard them in the confessional, murmured between Hail Marys. "Father, something's wrong. People are disappearing. There's talk of men in suits coming to collect debts. People who cross them don't come back." I told myself it wasn't my concern. I was just a shepherd, tending to my flock. Until the first body turned up on the church steps. Brother Santiago. He had been with St. Mary's for over 20 years. A quiet man. Devout. Loyal. Never one to stray from his faith. I found him in the early hours of the morning, the sun barely peeking over the horizon. His robes were soaked in blood, his hands folded over his chest as if he had died praying. A single bullet hole in his forehead. A message. A warning. I dropped to my knees, hands shaking as I reached for his rosary, the beads slick with blood. I wanted to scream, to curse God, to demand an answer. But I already knew who had done this. And worse, I knew why. A bloody prayer. That night, I called Miguel. We need to talk. I was wondering when you'd call, Padre. We met in the rectory behind locked doors, the air thick with the scent of burning candles and old wood. Miguel sat across from me, unbothered, swirling a glass of whiskey in his hand. Why? I demanded. Why kill one of my own? Miguel sighed, setting his drink down with a soft clink. You misunderstand, Father. I didn't kill him. Don't lie to me. I slammed my fist on the desk. Santiago is dead because of you. Because of this unholy deal we made. Miguel leaned forward, his eyes dark, unreadable. You think I ordered that hit? If I wanted him dead, I wouldn't have left him on your doorstep. I don't send messages like that. I felt my stomach twist. Then who? Miguel smiled. That's the question, isn't it? A shadow in the flock. The next Sunday, I stood before my congregation, delivering a sermon about sin. But my hands trembled beneath my robes. The church was packed, more than usual. The pews filled with both the faithful and the damned, criminals and saints sitting side by side. And in the midst of them, a stranger. He sat a few rows back, dressed in black, his gaze fixed on me with something too sharp to be reverence. His face was unfamiliar, but his intent was clear. He wasn't here for God. He was here for blood. As I delivered my sermon, my voice steady despite the pounding in my chest, I knew one thing with absolute certainty. Brother Santiago's death was only the beginning. The real war was coming, and I had no idea how to stop it. Chapter 2: The Devil in the Pews. The next Sunday, I stood at the pulpit, a Bible in my hands, but my faith felt paper thin. The weight of Brother Santiago's death pressed against my chest like a millstone. I could still see his lifeless body on the church steps, the blood soaking into the stone as if it had always belonged there. My hands trembled beneath my robes, but I kept my voice steady as I delivered the sermon. Sin is not always loud. Sometimes it whispers. Sometimes it disguises itself in righteousness, in necessity. But the Lord sees all. My eyes swept across the congregation. They were all there, Miguel and his men, their presence unmistakable in the crowd. Faces too sharp, too watchful. Criminals dressed as parishioners. They sat among my real flock, among the innocent, the faithful, the ones who still believed in salvation. But then I saw him. The new face. He sat three pews from the front, leaning back, his hands clasped together like a man deep in prayer. But he wasn't praying. He was watching. Watching Miguel. I had spent enough time around wolves to recognize one in sheep's clothing. His hair was buzzed short, his jaw set like stone. He wore a black suit, but it wasn't the fine-cut kind Miguel's men favored. It was practical. No shine, no flair. Just a uniform for someone who knew how to kill. A killer in the house of God. I kept my voice steady, but my mind raced. Who was he? The answer came before the service was even over. As soon as the final hymn ended, Miguel stood, adjusting his cufflinks like a man who owned the room. His men moved with him, a slow, deliberate shift in the crowd. The stranger stood too, but he didn't follow the flow of people toward the exit. He stayed still, waiting. Miguel noticed him. He met the man's gaze, a flicker of recognition passing over his face. Then Miguel smirked, small, amused, like he was daring the man to make a move. The man didn't. Not yet. But I knew, in that moment, that blood was coming. And I had no idea whose it would be. A confession of blood. That night, I sat in the rectory, staring at the old wooden cross above my desk, trying to remember why I had become a priest in the first place. I had taken a vow to save souls, not launder cartel money, not bury the dead. But here I was. The knock at my office door was soft. I knew who it was before I even opened it. Miguel. He stepped inside, looking relaxed, as if he had just come from dinner instead of church. He always carried himself like that, like a man who had never had to fear anything in his life. I shut the door behind him. Who is he? I asked. Miguel raised an eyebrow. Who? Don't play games with me. I moved to my desk, gripping the edges so he wouldn't see how badly my hands were shaking. The man in the black suit. The one watching you during Mass. Miguel sighed, running a hand over his jaw. His name is Gabriel Ortiz. They call him the Vulture. I felt a chill creep up my spine. Who sent him? Hector Barrera. A name I knew all too well. Hector Barrera had been a problem in the city for months. A rival dealer trying to cut into Miguel's territory. The kind of man who didn't make threats. He made examples. And what does he want? I asked, though I already knew the answer. Miguel smirked. Mi padre. He wants me dead. I closed my eyes. Then why the hell is he in my church? Miguel stepped closer, his voice lower. Because he knows I use this place to move my money. He wants me to bleed, and he wants to do it somewhere that will make a statement. He wants to send a message. I opened my eyes. And what message will you send back? Miguel's smile didn't reach his eyes. That's what I came here to discuss. The devil's offer. Miguel placed a thick envelope on my desk. I didn't need to open it to know it was filled with cash. This is for you, Padre. I don't want it. You don't have a choice. I exhaled sharply. What do you want from me? I need sanctuary. The words hit me like a hammer to the chest. You want to hide here? Miguel chuckled. No, no, Padre. I want to make sure no blood spills here. If Ortiz comes for me, I want to make sure he knows this is holy ground. And if he doesn't care? Miguel's smile faded. Then I need to know you're on my side. I swallowed hard. And what does that mean? It means if the time comes, and you have to choose between me and him. He leaned in close, his voice almost a whisper. You don't hesitate. I felt the weight of my collar tighten around my throat. I wasn't just a priest anymore. I was being asked to pick a side in a war. And no matter what I chose, people would die. The first shot. It happened 3 nights later. I had just locked the church doors after evening prayers when the first gunshot rang out. The stained glass window above the altar exploded, shards of blue and red raining down like shattered faith. I hit the ground, heart pounding, ears ringing. The gunfire didn't stop. It echoed through the church, bullets tearing through wood, splintering pews, ripping apart the sacred space I had sworn to protect. I crawled behind the altar, hands over my head, whispering prayers I wasn't sure I believed anymore. Then silence. A voice. Padre. I lifted my head. Gabriel Ortiz stood in the doorway, gun in hand. Miguel lay on the floor, blood pooling beneath him. He's a plague, Ortiz said, stepping forward, his boots clicking against the marble. A disease that has poisoned this city long enough. You see that, don't you? I stared at Miguel, his breath coming in ragged gasps. I had seconds to decide. Who did I save? Who did I condemn? Ortiz raised his gun again, aiming at Miguel's head. I felt my fingers curl into a fist. And then, for the first time in my life, I threw a punch. Ortiz wasn't expecting it. My knuckles cracked against his jaw, sending him stumbling backward. The gun went off, the bullet shattering the Virgin Mary statue behind me. Miguel moved fast. Despite the blood, despite the wound, he grabbed the gun from his holster and fired. Ortiz went down. Just like that. Miguel groaned, trying to push himself up. Damn, Padre, never thought you had it in you. I stared at the body on the floor. The church smelled like gunpowder and blood. The house of God had become a battleground. And I had just chosen a side. Chapter 3. A Judas Among Us. The first time I killed a man, I didn't feel God leave me. I expected to. I expected the heavens to shatter, the earth to split beneath my feet, the voice of the Almighty to thunder in my ears. Instead, there was silence. The kind of silence that seeps into your bones. Gabriel Ortiz lay at my feet, his blood pooling on the sacred marble of St. Mary's. Miguel stood over him, breathing hard, gun still hot in his hand. His wound had slowed him down, but not enough to stop him from finishing the job. I had made a choice, and there was no undoing it. Padre, Miguel groaned, pressing a hand to his side. I need to get the hell out of here before the cops show up. I looked down at Ortiz's body. His dead eyes stared up at the vaulted ceiling, as if seeking salvation. There would be none for him. Nor for me. Go, I muttered. I'll handle this. Miguel gave me a long look before nodding. He holstered his gun, wiped the blood from his lips, and limped toward the back exit. I was left alone with the corpse, and the crushing weight of my choices, burying the truth. I moved fast. The church had a cellar, a place where old relics were stored, forgotten scriptures, things no one ever bothered with. It wasn't consecrated ground, but at that moment, I didn't care about holy law. I dragged Ortiz's body down the narrow stairs, my back screaming in protest. Blood smeared across the stone, a dark trail leading to the place where secrets would be buried. Forgive me, I whispered, though I didn't know who I was speaking to. Ortiz was already gone. God had already turned his back on me. I covered him with an old tarp, my hands stained, my mind racing. The gunfire had been loud, but in this part of the city, no one called the police for a few shots. And even if they had, no one would question a priest. Not yet. But I knew this wasn't over. Because killers like Ortiz didn't work alone. And someone somewhere would would come looking for him. The whispering shadows. The days that followed were quiet. Too quiet. Miguel sent word that he was lying low, healing. The Rivera cartel had been rocked, their leader wounded, their enemies emboldened. But war hadn't erupted. Not yet. I continued my sermons, continued playing the role of the holy man, though I felt more like an executioner standing before the faithful. The church smelled like incense and candle wax, but to me, it still reeked of blood. And then the whispers began. Not from Miguel's men. Not from the rival cartel. From my own flock. Father, people are saying Brother Santiago knew something he shouldn't have. Father, there are rumors that someone in the church is working with the police. Father, do you think there's a traitor among us? I swallowed my fear and told them what any good priest would. We are all sinners. But the Lord's truth will always come to light. It wasn't enough. Because the truth was already clawing its way to the surface. A Judas among us. Miguel came to see me one night. He shouldn't have, he was still healing, his face gaunt from blood loss, his movements slow. But he didn't trust his own men with what he had to tell me. There's a rat, he said, lowering himself onto the pew at the back of the church. The words sent ice through my veins. What do you mean? Miguel exhaled. The cops know too much. They've been moving faster, hitting stash houses before we even have time to clear them out. Someone's feeding them information. I stiffened. You think it's someone from my church? Miguel gave me a look that made my stomach twist. I don't think, Padre. I know. The weight of his words crushed me. St. Mary's had become a sanctuary for sinners, but I had never believed one of my own would betray me. But Miguel wouldn't be here if he wasn't sure. Who? I forced out. Miguel didn't hesitate. Deacon Emilio. I felt my breath hitch. Emilio had been with me for 10 years. He had helped build this church, had guided the lost, had knelt beside me in prayer. He was the kind of man I had always trusted. But trust was a fragile thing. You're sure? I whispered. Miguel nodded. He's been seen meeting with a detective. And not just any cop, Detective Ruiz. The same bastard who's been hunting me for years. I felt sick. Ruiz was a relentless son of a bitch. He had spent his entire career trying to bring the Rivera cartel down, and now he had a mole feeding him information from inside the church. Emilio. A man I had called my brother. A man who had betrayed me. The betrayal unveiled. That night, I waited for Emilio in the rectory. I sat behind my desk, a single candle flickering beside me, the shadows dancing across the wooden walls. He arrived like he always did, dressed in his simple black cassock, his silver cross gleaming under the candlelight. Father, he said with a warm smile. You wanted to see me? I studied him, searching for the man I had once trusted. But now all I saw was a liar. I know, Emilio, I said quietly. His smile faltered. Know what? That you've been talking to the police. A beat of silence. Then his face changed. Not in panic. Not in anger. In relief. I was going to tell you, he said softly. My jaw clenched. You were going to tell me? He exhaled. Father, this isn't what you think. I didn't betray you. I was trying to protect you. I laughed bitterly. Protect me? By selling me out to Ruiz. Emilio stepped forward, his eyes desperate. You're in too deep, Father. This deal with Miguel, it's a death sentence. I only told Ruiz what he needed to hear to keep the church safe. My vision blurred with rage. Brother Santiago is dead because of you. Emilio flinched. I didn't mean for that to happen. I never wanted anyone to get hurt. But people had. And more would. I reached into my desk drawer, my fingers brushing against cold steel. The gun wasn't mine. Miguel had given it to me weeks ago, just in case. Now I understood why. Emilio's eyes flickered to my hand, and for the first time, I saw real fear in them. Father, you don't have to do this. I had never taken a life before. But I had also never been betrayed like this. My hands trembled. My breath came fast and shallow. And then, a single gunshot shattered the silence. Blood splattered across the old wooden desk. Emilio staggered, his lips parting in shock. He fell. I stood over him, the gun still warm in my grip. His eyes met mine, wide, pleading. Forgive me, he whispered. And then he was gone. The church bells rang in the distance. A hollow, mocking sound. I had just killed a man. And this time, I had done it with my own hands. Chapter 4. The Weight of a Cross. The blood wouldn't come off my hands. I scrubbed them raw in the church's small washroom. The cracked porcelain sink stained pink as the water swirled down the drain. But it didn't matter how hard I scrubbed. The blood was still there. Emilio's blood. His final words haunted me. Forgive me. But how could I? How could I forgive him when I had been the one to put a bullet in his chest? I gripped the edges of the sink, staring at my reflection in the fogged mirror. The man who looked back at me wasn't a priest. He was a murderer. I had crossed the line, stepped so deep into the darkness that there was no turning back. First Ortiz, now Emilio. The walls of St. Mary's had seen more blood than confessions, and I was no longer just the shepherd. I had become the executioner. And yet, the worst part? I felt nothing. No regret. No sorrow. Only the weight of knowing it wasn't over. Because one betrayal never comes alone. And the war I had tried so hard to prevent was now at my doorstep. A funeral without mourning. The next morning, I stood before the congregation and led them in prayer. Brothers and sisters, today, we mourn the loss of Deacon Emilio, a man of faith, a servant of God, and a friend to us all. Lies. I felt their eyes on me, searching, questioning. They knew something was wrong. Emilio had been a pillar of the church for years, a man loved by the people. His sudden death, under mysterious circumstances, left too many unanswered questions. And I had no answers to give. Miguel sat in the back, watching me. His presence was a warning, a silent reminder that no sin goes unnoticed in his world. He knew. Of course he knew. After the service, he waited for me by the altar, his fingers grazing the edge of the holy book like a man mocking God. Padre, he murmured, his voice smooth, measured. I heard about Emilio. I nodded stiffly. He's with God now. Miguel smirked. Is that what you tell yourself? I exhaled slowly. He was a traitor. Miguel studied me, something dark flickering in his eyes. That's what I like about you, Father. You understand loyalty. And what happens when people break it? His words weren't a compliment. They were a test. Because Miguel knew the truth about Emilio's death. And he was waiting to see if I'd break. I didn't. Instead, I met his gaze and said, "What do you need from me?" Because that was the only question that mattered now. Not faith. Not salvation. Only survival. The war begins. That night, I couldn't sleep. I sat in my office, the dim candlelight flickering against the old wooden walls, listening to the quiet hum of the city outside. My hands still smelled like gunpowder. And then, a knock at the door. Soft. Measured. I already knew who it was before I even opened it. Detective Ruiz. He stood in the doorway, dressed in his usual cheap suit, the stench of stale cigarettes clinging to him. His eyes swept the room before settling on me. You look like hell, Father. I didn't reply. I simply stepped aside, letting him in. Ruiz had been circling Miguel for years, waiting for the moment to bring him down. And now, with Emilio dead, I knew exactly why he was here. You and I need to talk. I folded my arms. About what? Ruiz smirked, pulling a folded piece of paper from his pocket and tossing it onto my desk. It was a photograph of Emilio, meeting with Ruiz. My stomach twisted. He was my informant, Ruiz said. And now he's dead. I kept my expression neutral. And you think I had something to do with that? Ruiz chuckled. I don't think, Father. I know. Silence stretched between us, thick with unspoken truths. Here's the thing, Ruiz continued, leaning in. I don't care about Emilio. He was just another pawn in a bigger game. But Miguel, he's the king. I exhaled sharply. And what does that have to do with me? Ruiz smirked. I want you to help me bring him down. The words hit me like a hammer to the chest. You think I'd betray him? I think you already have blood on your hands, Father. Ruiz stood, adjusting his jacket. This is your last chance to get out before you're buried next to Emilio. Be smart. Call me when you're ready to confess. He left without another word. I stood there, staring at the photograph, at the evidence of Emilio's betrayal. And I realized something terrifying. Ruiz was right. The only way to survive this war was to pick a side. But which devil did I serve? The one outside the law? Or the one hiding behind a badge? A choice made in blood. Miguel came to see me the next night. This time, he wasn't smiling. He threw a newspaper onto my desk, his jaw clenched. The headline read, "Rivera Cartel Under Police Investigation. Insider Leaks Critical Information." I swallowed hard. You wouldn't know anything about this, would you, Padre? The room felt smaller, the walls pressing in. You think I'd betray you? I asked. Miguel didn't answer. But his silence spoke volumes. I killed Emilio for you, I said, my voice cold. And now you're questioning me? Miguel studied me, his dark eyes unreadable. Then slowly he nodded. I believe you, he murmured. But there's still a rat. And if it's not you, then we have a bigger problem. I exhaled, my pulse steady. What do you want me to do? Miguel smirked. Pray for whoever I find next. And just like that, the hunt for the real traitor began. The weight of a cross. I sat alone in the church that night, staring up at the massive crucifix above the altar. What would you have me do? I whispered. No answer. Not that I expected one. I had strayed too far from grace to be heard. The blood I had spilled, the lies I had told, the man I had become. This wasn't God's work. It was survival. And soon another body would fall. The question was, would it be mine? Chapter 5, The Last Confession. I sat in the confessional, the wooden walls closing in on me like a coffin. The scent of burning candles and old wood filled the air, mingling with something else, something darker. Blood. Not fresh, but it lingered in my mind. It stained my hands, even when they were clean. I had spent my whole life hearing the confessions of sinners. Now I had become one. And tonight would be my final confession. A kingdom of ash. The church was quieter than usual. Word had spread. St. Mary's was no longer a place of salvation. It had become a battlefield, and I was standing in the crossfire. Miguel's men watched from the pews, silent sentinels dressed in suits. They weren't praying. They were waiting. For war. For blood. For the traitor to be found. Ruiz had given me a choice. Help him bring down Miguel, or be buried with him. But Miguel had given me a choice too, stay loyal, or end up like Emilio. Two devils. One priest. No way out. I stepped out of the confessional, gripping the cross around my neck, like it could save me. It wouldn't. Nothing would. The Judas revealed. Miguel was waiting for me in the rectory, a glass of whiskey in his hand. His wound had healed, but the scar remained, a reminder of how close he had come to death. You look tired, Padre, he said, swirling his drink. Maybe you should rest. I ignored the offer. You found the rat. Miguel's smirk faded. He reached into his jacket and tossed something onto my desk. A photograph. Not of me. Not of Emilio. But of one of his own men. Luis. The man had been at Miguel's side for years. A loyal soldier. Or so we thought. Caught him meeting with Ruiz last night, Miguel said. I would have never guessed. But betrayal always comes from where you least expect it, doesn't it? I swallowed hard. Yes. It did. Luis was a dead man walking. What are you going to do? I asked. Miguel chuckled. What do you think? I felt sick. Not because Luis had betrayed him. But because I had, too. And if Miguel ever found out, I'd be next. A deal with the devil. I met Ruiz that night in a dark alley, my collar hidden beneath a plain coat. Tell me you have something for me, Father, Ruiz said, his cigarette glowing in the dim light. I hesitated. Luis. He's the informant. Ruiz exhaled smoke, nodding. Good. That means Miguel's days are numbered. I should have felt relief. Instead, I felt dread. And what about me? I asked. Ruiz looked at me, really looked at me. You get out. We can put you in witness protection, relocate you. But you need to make a choice, and you need to make it now. I had no time left. Miguel trusted me. The police wanted him. I was the only one standing between him and a bullet. And the question was, would I pull the trigger? A last supper. The final service at St. Mary's was packed. People came, not to hear the word of God, but to watch. To see what would happen. The tension was thick, suffocating. Miguel sat in the front row, his presence a silent challenge. Luis was beside him, unaware that he was already a ghost. I stood at the pulpit, my hands gripping the edges, my heart pounding. I had betrayed Miguel. And if I spoke now, if I warned him, I'd be signing my own death warrant. So I did what I did best. I preached. Brothers and sisters, I began, my voice steady despite the fear clawing at my chest. Betrayal is the oldest sin. It began in the garden with a whisper. It ended on a cross with 30 pieces of silver. Miguel smiled. He knew. Not about me, but about Luis. The service ended. And so did Luis. Miguel's men grabbed him before he could even leave the pew. The gunshot echoed through the church, a final amen to a life wasted. Blood splattered across the holy ground. And I realized, this would never end. Not unless I ended it myself. The last confession. I met Miguel in the rectory, the candlelight casting flickering shadows on the walls. He poured two glasses of whiskey, sliding one toward me. To loyalty, he said. I lifted my glass. To redemption. And then I pulled the gun. Miguel didn't flinch. So it's you, he murmured. I should have known. I swallowed hard. I never wanted this. But you did it anyway. I hesitated. Just for a second. And that's when he moved. The glass shattered. The gun fired. And the world went black. A sinner's ending. I woke up in a hospital bed, my body screaming in pain. Ruiz stood beside me, arms crossed. You're lucky to be alive, father. I didn't feel lucky. Miguel. I croaked. Ruiz sighed. Gone. Disappeared before we could get to him. I closed my eyes. Of course he did. St. Mary's was gone. Burned to the ground. There was nothing left. Not the church. Not Miguel. Not me. Ruiz leaned in. Wherever he is, we'll find him. But your part in this is over. You're free. Free. The word felt hollow. I had spent my life preaching salvation. And in the end, I had lost my own. There was no redemption for men like me. Only the weight of a cross I could never put down. Epilogue, a ghost in the wind. They gave me a new name, a new life. But no amount of distance could erase the past. Miguel was still out there. And one day, he'd come looking. For revenge. Or for a final confession. And when that day came, I'd be ready. The end.